And so this talk is actually more about material science. So I should apologize because this may be too, how to say, maybe too practical. But I think it's good to know, you know, what can be realized and what people are attempting to do in the real condensed matter experiment. And hopefully we can find some interesting topological phases. And would like to acknowledge my collaborators, Di Xiao and Satoshi Okamoto and Wenggang Zhu at Oak Ridge. And Di already moved to Carnegie Mellon. And Fa Wang at MIT moved to PKU, and Naoto at Tokyo, and some student at Boston College, and my postdocs, and Professor Zichang Wang. And so the results are all on archive, and also actually they are all published, but this may be shorter to write down. I think maybe we can have a very brief introduction about topological phases. Traditionally, we understand phase of matter in terms of symmetry breaking. This is the traditional Ginzburg-Landau theory. And we understand different phases as different pattern of symmetry breaking. And then we know that there are some new phases, like quantum Hall states. They are, of course, they are interesting in many different aspects, but at least I mean, for the purpose of this talk, quantum Hall states, they provide a striking counterexamples of this Ginzburg-Landau understanding of phases of matter, because they're all the same in terms of symmetry, but yet they're different. There's something other than symmetry tells you that they're different. So their differences actually are related to topology. And in geometry, topology are characterized by smooth deformation. For example, you can deform like an orange into a bowl without punching holes. Yeah. So it turned out that you can use this genus, which is an integer, to characterize any two-dimensional surface in terms of topology. It's an integer, but there's an interesting theorem, a mass theorem, telling you that you can compute this integer instead of looking at the global picture, but we can do some local integration. We can integrate the curvature over the whole surface, and then they give you some integer. So in fact, the integer quantum Hall states are exactly analogous to this geometric picture. Quantum Hall effects are realized in two-dimensional electron gas when you apply a field. And then the electron gas will fill up these Landau levels. And when you fill integer Landau levels, you see this integer conductance. This is also an integer. This is an integer characterizing these states. And it's a very flat, meaning this integer is very robust. Of course, the integer, you can also smoothly tune it. So the question is this integer some kind of a genus? And in fact, this integer is exactly some version of genus. So you can compute this integer. Now they are called either Tikal index or Chern number in terms of this barrier curvature integration for the wave function. So essentially, if you have an electronic band structure, you can compute this barrier curvature. It's some local quantity in the momentum space. And then you integrate it over, and you find some integer. So the main message here is that in order to realize integer quantum Hall effect, you don't have to have magnetic field. So this was firstly pointed out by Haldane in 88. So he wrote down a simple tight-bound model on the honeycomb lattice without a net magnetic field. But this tight-bound model is just an electron hopping around on this lattice. Turned out to have non-zero Chern number for this band structure. So that means if you fill this band structure actually have two bands, if you fill one of them, you still have a gap because these two bands are not touching. There's a well-defined energy gap. It's an insulator. Also have non-zero quantum Hall effect. So this actually, I think this is the seed of all the current modern topological insulator. So this simple tight band model. It tells you that there's some hope to realize topological band structure without any field, it's just in some electronic system, electronic crystal. But then we realized that the real electron have spin. So this model is for spinless electron. So then you have to, in order to realize this, at least we have to consider spin in materials. So a few years ago, this was, in fact, got important progress, both theoretically and experimentally. So a few years ago, people really considered this a spin degree freedom in a solid. And people realized that in some sense, when you consider spin degree freedom, you're considering some time reversal symmetric system because spin flipped and time reversal. So then people realized that there are these topological insulators in both two dimension and three dimension. So they are insulators without any net magnetic field. So, but they're still topological because the band structure carries a certain like generalization of the Chern number. And they have a striking experimental signature in two dimension. They are gapless edge mode going around this this quantum well. This is a two dimensional sample. And in three dimension, there are this striking single Dirac cone realized on the surface of the three dimensional sample. So the general idea is, in order to realize these topological states in material, general idea is you start from some semi-metal in the bulk. It's like either a very narrow gap semiconductor or a semi-metal, but then you turn on a spin order coupling, then the spin order coupling will generate an energy gap. And at the end of the day, this spin order coupling generate energy gap will give you this band topology and this striking effects. So this surface and edge states are very useful for various purposes. They are useful for maybe applications or even be useful for some more exotic applications, like realizing Mariner fermions. And for this three-dimensional TI, there have been a lot of materials. The band gap are large, but there are only one two-dimensional TI got realized. And this two-dimensional TI have a very small energy gap. So that's the current status in terms of material science. No, 2D is actually more difficult. So the different compound, they have different advantage and disadvantage in terms of realizing this exciting physics. So essentially, in order to have those practical realization, it's always better to have a large energy gap, large band gap. So this was realized in these 3D samples, but in 2D sample the gap is very small. So you have to go all these experiments on the two dimensional TI are done at very low temperature. And however, the two dimensional system have a advantage because this two dimensional system is really an insulator in the bulk, because this is also crucial for many. Application like this realizing Mariner fermion, but the three dimensional compound, although the surface is a metal, it's a as what we expect for topological insulator, but the bulk is actually a metal in terms of transport. So there are some impurities in the 3D samples that you can very difficult to get rid of. So the three dimensional sample is not very ideal in this sense. So, so can we find, there are many practical reasons to discover more sort of ideal TI materials. So the question is, can we find a two-dimensional, more two-dimensional TI materials, and hopefully with even with a large energy gap? So this talk is about that a certain transition metal oxide heterostructure indeed host this room temperature two-dimensional TI phases, and much more than that. And it turned out that we find that this series of materials hopefully can even realize like a fancy fractional trend insulators and maybe quantum spin liquids. So I will come to this later. But the first thing is to introduce to you what is transition metal oxide hydrostructure. It's some material that people are actively studying within, I think, within maybe 20 years. So there's some important paper that point out that one can really grow this kind of transition metal oxide in an atomic controlled fashion. It's a you can grow layer by layer, and there are a lot of tunability, and there are, for example, you can change this material, you can change this transition metal elements. And you can also control the growth direction. You can also, by changing elements, you can change the spin orbital coupling interaction correlation strength. You can even also dope the system. So there are already a lot of interesting physics being discussed in this field, both experimentally and theoretically. So here we. To realize this interesting topological phases, we focus on this so-called perovskite crystal structure. And this perovskite material is basically some ABO3. B is the transition metal. A is some other ion. So this is the crystal structure. So the big sphere here represents the A site. And the smaller circle, the sphere represents the B set, the transition metal, and the red dot represents the oxygen. And the current experiment efforts mainly focus on this 001 direction growth. You basically grow this cubic lattice along the Z direction, and you can play this trick by growing some material, then stop and change some other material, then you artificially create some interface. And there's some funny, very interesting superconductivity on this interface. So I will not comment too much, but it's a very active field. so far, topological phases has not been investigated on this transition metal oxides. So I think
right. So I think that this pair of materials that you showed is maybe the most popular
combination. Yeah, most popular.
But how easy or how hard to change the combination to grow other type of pattern structure?
So in principle, it's just a matter of time. The first thing is you make sure the lattice constant match. Yeah. So as long as they are within a certain range of mismatch,
okay.
Then I think my understanding is you can always grow it. But the question is the quality.
For every pair, you probably have to invest a lot of time to try to grow
perfectly. Yeah, interface. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. You invest more time, you can find the optimal condition to grow that.
So it's important to grow.
That's true. there are always this history that theorists made like a negative contribution. So maybe they shouldn't listen to us too much. So I think that the reason people don't consider these topological phases. for this transition metal oxide pattern structure is because the current efforts are on along the 001 direction. So let's remember the lesson we learned a moment ago. All these experimentally realized, say Ti, they are realized starting from a cyan metal, and then you turn on spin-on the coupling. But the square lattice, they usually give you either a large Fermi surface or a large band gap. So they will not give you a cyan metal automatically. So this may not be good to realize. This growth direction, which gives you square lattice, may not be good to realize these topological phases. But I will show that the growths along the 1-1 direction are particularly interesting for topological phases. So the crystal structure, this is again this ABO3 crystal structure, but imagine I grow this material along the 1-1 direction. So then this B set, this transition metal, which form a cubic lattice here, but if I grow along 1-1 direction, they will form layers of triangle lattices. For example, so this is my 1-1, then this blue dots and the pink dots, they form two triangle lattices. And suppose I only grow this two atomic layer of this this B site, so then they will form all these sites will be connected in this way, and they will form a barcode honeycomb lattice. This is a picture for this material. So then we know honeycomb lattice is interesting because honeycomb lattice naturally give you a semi metal. So then you can imagine maybe spin-on coupling naturally give you some topological states. And in particular here, this B side is a transition metal. So there's some hope to have some correlated version of graphene because the transition metal is a D electron. D electron is strongly correlated. And there are some details that you have to consider, but
I will,
yeah. Yeah, so of course so think about this material. You start from a cubic lattice, but then you grow this two layer of, let's say, lanthanum gold oxide in the middle of lanthanum aluminum oxide. So then the symmetry will be broken from cubic to trigonal. Oh, no, that don't have to happen. So the question is whether this is further broken. Is this your question? Yeah, this may or may not, because the starting point don't break this symmetry, but it's always a possibility to dynamically break this symmetry. Yeah, so sometimes the material break that symmetry. It depends on material. So the talk is about several examples. I will show that in these examples, several different kind of interesting topological phase may emerge. So let's firstly consider this example, just a gold in the middle of this aluminum oxide. So this two material, we call it the EG active material because, so let me explain this terminology a little bit. So the D electron, when it sits in the environment of a oxygen octahedra, the D orbital will split into EG and the T2G. So EG will be higher energy, T2G will be lower energy. And this gold, this is 3+ gold, will have its electron partially filled in the EG orbitals. But this iridium have T2G partially filled. So this will be active. So let's consider EG orbital active system. You will have EG orbitals, this D electron orbitals, hopping around this barcode honeycomb lattice. So let's guess what would happen, right? So first thing is the EG orbital really have two orbitals. There are two DD orbitals corresponding to EG. So that means on every side you have two orbital, but there are two sides per unit cell. So totally you have four orbitals per unit cell. So that's why you expect four bands. This is the four bands. So here I don't consider spin-order coupling. This four bands indeed looks very similar to graphene, at least when you look at this dispersive band in the middle. But interestingly, there are two extra bands, which are exactly flat on the top and bottom of the band structure, which is a natural consequence of this tight banding model. For the nearest hopping, nearest hop, neighbor hopping. So if you add additional hopping, this this flat band will be dispersive. But for the nearest neighbor, this is a flat. So for the gold oxide, the Fermi level sit right at the middle of this four bands, this half field. So this is a really look like a very similar to graphene, but the meaning that your starting point is really a semi metal, but we know gold have a strong spin out coupling because gold is a 5D electron, a 5D element. So we certainly should consider spin out coupling. So then there's some detail which maybe I should skip. So the spin out coupling in the EG orbital requires some further analysis, but at the end of the day, after a turnout spin out coupling, the energy gap got generated at this this band touching point.
This is still a tight banding model.
This is tight banding model, not LDA. Yeah. So I will show you that later. Yeah. So the energy gap turned out to generate both here at the linear band touching point, the Dirac like band touching point, also at this gamma point. Remember, before without spin uncoupling, this dispersive band actually have some quadratic band touching with a flat band at the gamma point. But when I turn on spin uncoupling, this band gap will be generated. So at the end of the day, you can count this so-called Z2 topological index for these bands. You realize that this nearly flat band now is nearly flat because I already have spin, I turn on spin out coupling. The nearly flat band become topological. It's carry this Z2 topological index equal 1. The dispersive one have Z2 index 0. And there's a simple reason to understand why. Because when you turn on spin out coupling, there's some Chernember transfer at the Dirac points, but there are also some Chernember transfer at the gamma point. So this is the end of the day, what you have. So this material turned out to be, because the total Z2 Chernember, the Z2 number is 1, it turned out to be a topological insulator in 2D.
I wonder, I imagine here you still have this symmetry of this layer, so
okay,
this symmetry, there's no electric field perpendicular
to the layer,
right?
Yeah.
But if you do have some of these two-side layer,
you
couldn't say like one side is vacuum.
Right.
How this picture might change?
I think there's, of course, a small field don't change anything, but there's some phase transition.
There's a dominating part, suppose this strong field perpendicular dominates, whether
yeah, I think then the electron all localized on one side, right? So think about the bulk of the honeycomb.
As a trivial band insulator.
A trivial band insulator, right. So this is so here the important message is the non-trivial band topology is actually carried by this nearly flat band. And we learn from fractional quantum Hall effect. If you partially fill a nearly flat topological band, you have interesting fractional quantum Hall effect. Here the question is, do you have something similar? And I will come back to this later. But at this moment, let's focus on this material. Yes. So roughly speaking, you can think about this Z2 index as Chernember equal 1 for say up spin, but the Chernember equal minus 1 for down spin. So this band is doubly degenerate due to spin, actually due to time reversal symmetry. So this Z2 index is some generalization of the Chernember for the spinless case. Yeah. So for spinless case, it's a Chern number. But with spin, we should use this Z2 index. But roughly speaking, this Z2 index is just the Chern number for the up electron, or minus the Chern number for the down electron. That's the meaning. So so this is the band structure calculation. This is the first principle LDA calculation. And this material indeed have a pretty large energy gap. So this may be a room temperature 2 dTi. So actually, we are pretty confident about this prediction. You see this with for the real material, this nearly flat band on top and bottom, they become dispersive due to further neighbor hopping, but they are still not that dispersive, right? So the compared to with correlation length, correlation strength. So this, for example, this bandwidth may be like a 0.4 EV or 0.3 EV, is still much smaller than the correlation strength U, however U. Right?
But you don't have a real gap there. The band overlap.
Yeah. But the point is in the real material is dispersive, but may not be that dispersive. So I will come back to this later. But then I was told by my material scientist friend that the gold oxide are challenging to grow. But this material indeed exists. So I think there are still some people trying to grow this. But I should hope that they can succeed. They can do it quick. But this nickel oxide turned out to be some easier to grow material. So this actually was extensively studied experimentally for the 001 direction. So in fact, the bulk material is also interesting. So they have some unusual magnetic charge ordering. So this motivates us to consider this material grown along the 001 direction. So this is actually more closer to real life. And in fact, this was already grown. So I will come back to this
in a second.
Our 101 direction. Yeah. So our work on this is example 2 about the nickel oxide. So nickel oxide is also easy orbital active material, but the difference is the following. First, the nickel is a 3D material, so 3D orbital, so on third row on a periodic table. The intrinsic spin on the coupling is quite small. Especially in the EG orbital. So you can basically ignore the spin on the coupling. So you should start with this band structure like this without spin on coupling. They have linear band touching here and quadratic band touching here. And second, this nickel oxide have 3D electron. So that means this EG orbital will be quarterly filled. So there are 4 bands. Actually, I only fill the first one. So the Fermi level is here, not there. It's here.
So first one can be quarterly filled.
But up and down spin. So this is your starting point. But then, of course, this nickel is strongly correlated. You should add a strong correlation. And then you ask what happens. So, but we know that something must happen because this state is not even stable towards small interaction. So this quadratic band touching is known to be perturbatively unstable because you have finite density of state. So the question is, after you turn this on, what happens? So we compare our, so this is a tidal band model. We compare this tidal band model with this LDA calculation with the suppression. So these are LDA calculation without a magnetic order. So they just suppress magnetic order by hand. So they just try to compute the non-magnetic the band structure. So this the real material should have magnetic order. I should
come.
A different substrate basically. So this is aluminum oxide. This is some different. This is a
substrate.
Yeah, the substrate is different. This is a I forgot how to pronounce this. So the question is, what's the phase diagram for this starting point as a function of correlation strength? Because we turn on correlation, this state should be different. Even without calculation, we can guess what could happen. Because essentially, in this material, you start from so let's plot the dental state as function of energy. You have this flat band. That means you have a very large dental state here. So there are some. So these peaks are corresponding to the Van Hoff singularity. So they are actually very small. But there's a large peak corresponding to this flat band, and this zero corresponding to the Dirac point. So your Fermi level means that in the real material, it's also dispersive. So you will have some finite width, like a large peak. Your Fermi level will be sitting somewhere in the middle of this dental state peak. So that means when you turn on interaction, this so-called Stoner criteria is strongly satisfied. So meaning there's a strong tendency for this system to go into a ferromagnetic ordered phase. So this is some intuitive guess, but let's believe this ferromagnetism really happens and ask what's the resulting state. So suppose the ferromagnetism happens, so there should be some polarization. There's some minority spin, there's some majority spin. But then you realize that as long as this ferromagnetism is partially polarized, then this minority spin always have this flat band partially filled. The system don't want to do that, because if you have a nearly flat band and partially fill it, it costs you a lot of kinetic energy, and the system actually want to avoid it. So your naive guess is it will keep polarizing until it's fully polarized. So then the majority spin have the Fermi level lie right on this Dirac point. So this is your naive guess. So this is like one half of graphene, or the spinless version of graphene. So we call it Dirac half the metal phase. And what's really convincing, at least for me, is that the lesson we learned from the bulk. The bulk phenomenology of this nickel oxide actually strongly suggesting this ferromagnetic picture may be correct for this thin film. So the reason is, if you look at the phase diagram for this bulk material, this essentially you can plot different material as a function of the radius. And then at low temperature, the system always have a magnetic order and a charge order. And it has been argued that this charge order is a consequence of this magnetic order. And the magnetic order pattern is very strange. It's antiferromagnetic, but it's not a usual antiferromagnetic. The pattern looks like this. So the nickel formed this cubic lattice, but the order is like if you look along the 1-1 direction, this nickel again form layers of a triangular lattice. If I have a usual antiferromagnetic order, then in terms of this 1-1 layers, the order should look like up, down, up, down. But this particular order for this nickel oxide is up, up, down, down, up, up, down, down. Yeah. So in some sense, you can imagine if you peel off two layers from this bulk, maybe the naive guess would be a bilayer of ferromagnetism, because the coupling between the ferromagnetism, the coupling between the up and the down layer should be weaker, but the coupling between the up and the up layer should be stronger. So the naive thing you imagine is if you peel off, you get this ferromagnetic bilayer. So that I think this magnetism in the bulk is maybe some related to this bilayer strong ferromagnetism in the thin film limit. And there's some mean field calculation, and we indeed find this Dirac half cylinder metal phase. But the more interesting thing is if you turn on interaction stronger, there is the system go into this so-called quantum anomalous Hall insulator. So this phase is another phase. So what I plot here is basically the y-axis is the order parameter. The x-axis is this u, the correlation strength over bandwidth. And it's pretty clear that this Dirac Hassard metal occupy a large region in the phase diagram. And for the real material, this u over t is always larger than like a 2 or 3. So I think, so everything below this 2, we think is probably unrealistic. So this Dirac Hassard metal and the quantum anomaly insulator, and there's some other ferromagnetic fully polarized pneumatic states. So these three states are in the realistic regime. So let me comment on this quantum anomaly effect. So essentially, going from here to there is a continuous phase transition. What happens is the following. So is this this Dirac Hassard metal have this polarized spin with Fermi level at the Dirac point, and if I increase u over t, if I keep going further, this gap will be generated actually. At the end of the day, you dynamically generate spin of the coupling, and the resulting state is an anomalous Hall effect. So this is an experimental signature for this states. So the message here is, although this nickel have a very small atomic spin on the coupling, but the correlation can dynamically generate some spin on the coupling.
That means it's some kind of, in the form magnet is, polarized.
Right.
So whether this transition is a spin between magnetic planar or something.
Yeah, I think it's related.
Some kind of
On symmetry.
Do they break translation or no break?
No, I think the let me see. The symmetry it breaks is like you do a spin rotation to flip the ferromagnetic moment, then do time reversal.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the Euro, that symmetry is broken. In the Euro ferromagnet, you have this rotation, then time reversal. This is symmetry, but in this phase, it's broken. Yeah, it's like a generate some imaginary part in your hobby. How am I going with left? Okay, good. So,
in this picture, which bands are
here? Yeah, so Fermi levels here. So you, these are all the majority spin. So the spin already polarized. So you initially you have this first band filled by both up and down spin, but the spin got polarized, the ferromagnetism. So the majority spin filled up here, and the gap generated. That's a picture. Yes.
You said that U over T generates spin over W in this
case. Right.
So this U over T is on site, right?
That's right.
So what exactly do you mean?
Yeah, so yeah, it's a good question. So if you consider single orbital model, tidal bending model, then it's hard to imagine on-site term give you a spin order coupling. But this is a two orbital model, the two orbital system. On a single orbital, you have two electronic states. So there is this dx squared minus y squared and this dz squared. So you could write down term like this, I sigma dot some direction, I here, and then the d dagger and dz squared. Right, so you can write down this kind of this alpha beta, this alpha beta label spin, yeah. So you could write down this kind of terms, and this kind of term is essentially some spin of coupling, and yeah.
So you generate this mean field theory.
Yeah, you generate that on your mean field theory. That's right. Yeah.
So how do you generate that only on site?
Sorry, say it again.
How you only generate some on-site.
But But eventually,
you get this from the extended Hubbard model where you.
Right. The point is this. So if you want a simple picture, I can explain this to you. You still have some. So the system is at 1/4 filling, right? So that means even after your spin got polarized, the system is at half filling. So the electron don't know is sitting here or there, and there are two orbitals actually, two states here and there. So this kind of order basically lift this degeneracy and give you a gap. Maybe that's a one way to.
So because it's sparrow, not to be sparrow,
Yeah, so we can chat later. Yeah. So essentially, this gap opening gains some interaction energy, basically. So there are several remarks about the interesting features, because in this system, the magnetism and the spin order coupling are both spontaneous generated. So that means you could have interesting solitons or defects. In fact, you could have this skirmion, which is texture of this ferromagnetic order, or you could have domain wall of this spontaneously generated spin-out coupling. And those defects or textures have interesting effects. For example, this skirmion is actually a fermion, carry electric charge, and domain wall carry one-dimensional chiral metallic modes. And there's some comment about finite temperature, which I don't want to discuss. So yes. Yes, the ferromagnetic order is some direction in the spin space, and then you can imagine what the skirmion look like is this direction wrap around the whole all the direction over the sphere, over the space. Yeah. So that object turned out to pump electric charge and become a fermion. And so this material got synthesized recently. And so at least people tried this material. So we will see what happens eventually. I think this is some the first results, and it looked like this material are insulating for this compound. So I think it still takes some time to fully characterize this sample, and for example, it's important to understand whether this sample is ferromagnetic or not. Right? So I hope at least this can be resolved in the short term.
How many layers?
Two layers. This is bilayer. This is a really bilayer. So
they can control that.
Yeah, they can control that. That's the main point of this paper. They particularly look at it bilayer. I guess they're brainwashed by this theoretical. Well, they are. I don't know. I hope they, this theoretical paper don't give a negative contribution. Yeah. So they are sort of motivated by those theoretical work. There's a related work actually on this material. I think I forgot the. Oh, sorry. I think I didn't write it down. By Greg Feet, addressing related physics. So the third example is about irradiated bilayer. So let me just quickly go through it. So I don't have time, but essentially the irradiated, you can think about the iridium ion as an effective spin 1/2, and when you put on honeycomb lattice like this, you can think about this iridium oxide bilayer. And then you realize this may be not very very far away from the metal insulator transition for the Hubbard model, single band Hubbard model on the honeycomb lattice. And the reason is iridium have a correlation strength right in the middle. It's not very insulating, and it's also not very metallic. So there's some interesting quantum spin liquids which somehow seem to be in this regime, although there's some recent question about the state. But nevertheless, I think this material, hopefully, at least it realized a correlated version of graphene. Whether it can, there are some interesting frustrations like quantum spin liquid phases or not, this is not clear. But at least there is some interesting correlated version of graphene. So finally, let's look back to this flat bands, which I didn't discuss in the beginning. When we talk about this gold oxide, we claim that there's some topological nearly flat band. So then the question is, what if I have this flat band partially filled? And the hope is, so there's some recent theoretical investigation showing that if you have a nearly flat topological band, if you partially fill it, then there's some numerical evidence that you can realize this so-called fractional chain insulator or even other interesting fractional topological insulators. So the idea is this nearly flat topological band, they basically play the similar role as a Landau level. And then you partially fill a Landau level, we know we get the fractional quantum Hall state. But here maybe you get something similar. And the advantage here is if you can realize it, then it will be high time energy effect. The reason is this energy scale controlling this many body quantum Hall effect is not by the long range Coulomb repulsion, it's by the short range Hubbard like interaction, which are high energy scales. So let's ask, again to say that this band become dispersive, but let's ask what if the flat band become partially filled? A very likely consequence of correlation for flat band, partially filled flat band, is the ferromagnetism, as we mentioned earlier. And what could happen is the system spontaneously generates some ferromagnetic field to split the band degeneracy. And for example, in a simple tidal band model, you could imagine this band split into this chain band. So the reason why you can think about this blue as the up spin band, the red as the down spin band. Initially they're degenerate, they form this Z2 equal one band, but now they're split into chain band. So then we ask, what if this chain band become partially filled? And we put in some sort of realistic interaction, like Hubbard U and V and some, so this U and U prime are this intra and the interorbital Coulomb repulsion, and V are the second neighbor, the nearest neighbor repulsion. And then we partially fill the top flat chain band, and then we project interaction into the flat band. So this is the major disadvantage of this calculation, because we're trying to do exact diagonalization for this problem. So we have to reduce the dimension of Hilbert space. But this projection is not an approximation that is under control. So in principle, one should consider the band mixing. And the question, what is ground state? And we did observe this threefold ground state degeneracy on Taurus. And we can compute the bounding body chain number. It's directly related to the sigma xy. And we see this, we observe this very close to 1/3. So this is a very strong evidence that at least in this calculation, you see some signature of this fractional quantum Hall states, similar to the Laughlin state. So do I still have time? You have time, it's good. So finally, let's comment further about this flat band fractional chain insulator. So one may ask, right, It is a fractional chain insulator. It's just a different way to realize the traditional fractional quantum Hall states, but in different physical systems. Or are there intrinsically new regime of quantum Hall physics that may be realized in the Chen bands but not realizable in the lambda level? So that's the question. Are there some new physics? So in fact, this Chen band with Chen number 2 is one example, because the bands in the Chen band don't have to carry Chen number 1. The lambda level have to carry Chen number 1, but Chen band don't have to carry Chen number 1. So in principle, you can carry arbitrary Chen number. But even for Chen number 2, you can still can you already see the difference, because if you just naively find the counterpart of the Laplacian state for a Chen number 2 band, then you'll find that state is some non-abelian state, because it's related to this SU3 level 2 Chen Simons theory. So this suggests that this Chen number 2 band is in some new region. And the question is, of course, there's a theoretical question and a practical question. The theoretical question is, can one look into the phase diagram of a partially filled Chen number 2 band, find some new phase? And I think that many people are thinking about that and working on that, using mainly numerics, I think. Another question is, are there possible realization of Chen number 2 band in practical materials?
Can you comment on how you get this, what's the natural analog of the
method? Yeah, so you can just cube this like a Chen number 1 wave function. And sorry, Chen number 2 wave function, okay. You know, on lattice. That's what I mean.
That's how you get it.
But then, of course, there are some subtleties. Right.
But then the
cube
that wave function.
But there are certainly some subtleties, because if you naively do that, the feeling don't match. But then you have to like triple the unit cell and so on. So I think you know all the details. Yeah. So in fact, there's a potential realization of Chen number 2 nearly flat band. It's on this iridium tri-layer, not two bilayer, it's tri-layer. So in fact, if you plot the band structure for this tri-layer, it's one of the famous realization of the Lieb theorem. So the reason is this metal atoms, they form a dense lattice if you grow tri-layer. If you grow two bilayer, it's a honeycomb. If you grow three layer, it becomes a dense lattice. So the hopping form this dense. So this lattice have a feature that is the even sublattice and the odd sublattice don't have equal number. You have this coordination 6 site, let's call that even sublattice, and the coordination number 3 sublattice, let's call it odd sublattice. So then this odd sublattice number of ions is twice, and by this Lieb theorem, the band structure actually have to have a flat band. So there's a theorem telling you this band structure have to be flat, at least on the nearest neighbor hopping model. And what we find is, if you turn on spinel coupling, and this material actually have this flat band exactly half filled. So it's exactly in the interesting regime. So when you turn on spinel coupling and turn on interaction, this band actually naturally split into this Chen number 2 bands. Yeah, but there's a theorem actually. Lieb have a theorem saying this when this flat band is half filled, it's have to be ferromagnetic. Yeah. So this is again, there's assumption is the interaction is the Hubbard-like interaction
on-site.
Hopping's next neighbor. Yeah. So. So this material somehow is exactly related to this Lieb theorem. Yeah, so there's maybe some hope to really get some Chen number 2 band in materials. I think finally, let me summarize. So I think I mentioned many interesting materials, and at least one of them already been synthesized. So I'm not talking in the air. Yeah, so so hopefully that material can be diagnosed you know, quickly, and we can see what happens. And this this investigation is like a first order like investigation. There are a lot of practical issues in the real materials which we didn't consider, like lattice reconstruction, or this trigonal splitting, and so on. So eventually the driving force, I think, in this direction would be the experimental efforts. So let's see what happens. And thank you. Yeah. Right. Actually, the iridium is a T2G. Actually, I forgot to mention that because of lack of time. So this is about the iridium. Iridium 4 plus have a 5d5 configuration. And I think you know this very well, right? So this so this T2G have one hole in it. And by this spin one coupling, you can think about it as a spin one half. Yeah, so this is actually a T2G active material. Usually, if you don't have such a nice picture, then the T2G orbital are much more complicated, right? There are three orbitals. And if you have this picture, then the T2G become even simpler than EG because you can only consider a single J equal one half orbital. So that's even simpler. So that's why you can think about this iridium oxide essentially as a single band Hubbard system.
This energy scale match, I mean, this J one half, J three half, pretty large.
Okay, good question. Right.
Only in this regime, but what the real material really in this regime?
It's always So this is certainly too ideal, right? So in the real material, depend on what you ask, right? So suppose this orbital, they have this particular coefficients and the phase combinations, right? So this kind of a phase combination actually got confirmed by some very smart soft X-ray scattering, right? So this is somehow if you look at this experiment, it looks like it's indeed in this spin one half. But on the other hand, if the picture is like this, and if we plug in the typical strength of interaction and the bandwidth, we would expect there's one famous material for example, material like this, maybe a mod insulator, you know, if you put in the number naively, but it's not a mod insulator. It is a mod insulator, but there are features. I should be more careful. So this is a metal. This is an insulator. And some people say it's a multi insulator. Some people say it's a slater insulator. But the bottom line is the phenomenology for this iridium oxide don't match this simple picture where this far away and can be ignored. I think this J equals 3 half actually contribute.
Another question for this C2 trim band with the half field.
Right.
And whether there's a numerical calculation indicating anything, whether they're not in space.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, good question. I was trying to do that. I couldn't identify the clear signature because essentially the result of my exact diagnosis looks quite ugly. there's no clear. Yes. So it could. So for example, the result look like maybe there's some charge density wave, and there could be some interesting phase which I haven't discovered. Yeah.
That is very
actually a question about this flat band. Mm. So flat band, I guess, that means that the energy is independent of the wavelength. How does that come about? Is there some
right.
intuitive explanation, or what is maybe it's related to this leaf theorem?
Right. Good question. Yeah. So there are two things that one can do to create a flat band. Right. So one can fine tune the hopping to just to minimize the bandwidth. Right. So that's possible. But in the practical or some realistic tight band model, if you see a flat band, there's always a reason. Right. There's certainly some simple reason, and that reason, in terms of Lieb theorem, it essentially means that so these states, you can, broadly speaking, you still can transform back to form some local one-layer states. And those local one-layer states don't even hop. So the flat band means that there are certain real space localized states that don't. That is the exact Engen state of the hopping Hamiltonian. So they don't hop. Yeah. So for example, in this case, maybe. So let me plot some example. So let's think about this lattice. So this is really called a Lieb lattice. This is called a Lieb lattice. You have a site on both on link and site. For the square lattice, and then you can you only allow nearest neighbor hopping, then you realize that for example a state like this, so plus minus, the superposition of these four states like this, the hopping Hamiltonian when it acts on this state it exactly cancel, because did I miss something? I think I missed something. So they did this way. So this way is correct. Yeah. So the hopping here cancel, hopping here cancel, and so on. Right. So this is an Engen state of Hamiltonian, and don't hop. This give you a flat band, and these states are localized on the. The extra sublattice, if you compare these two sublattices, this is my sublattice A, and the other one sublattice B, hopping only between N and B. And I have more B than A, and this flat band is on B. And you can think about it as some local orbital. So this may be some simple picture for a flat band. More B than right. So it's very obvious you will have a zero energy mode for this hopping, right? Right. Yeah. It's very general. It's very general. It's a, for example, this dice lattice is exactly a realization of that, and the theorem is very simple. The hopping is if you write in a matrix. It's between this A, it's only here and here. And the rank of this matrix cannot be full. Right. Yeah.
So in passing, you referred to the fermion.
Right.
Is it possible if people compute the energy of this fermion?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So interesting question. So right. So so this kind of fermionic skirmion. I think it was firstly discussed theoretically by maybe Z and Wilczek. And then later on, people discuss this in the context of a quantum Hall ferromagnet in 2D electron gas. I think Shivaji Sundi and and collaborators have some nice work, and also other people, which I forget. So the one way to understand it is the following. I will not comment on energetics. Energetics is something detail, right? You have to know the microscopic model. But the fact that it's a fermion, you can understand it in a rather easy way. Essentially, it's like you have fermion coupled with some order. It contains some kinetic energy. And then you have some order. Actually, this order is some weird order, in the spin direction. Then this order can rotate. Better to write this way. Right. So then the idea is you can this fermion problem. The fermion together with this magnetic moment have a full mass gap, and then you can integrate out the fermion, and then you get a theory for this order parameter. This order parameter live on S2. It's a vector, right? It's a Fermi moment, and this so then you should get some nonlinear signal model for this S2 for this n basically, but then this nonlinear signal model have a Hopf term in the action. It's like because in the 2+1D this 2+1D space time you can think about compactified into S3. And S3, if I write this this model in the Lagrangian in space time, it contain in principle I should consider the mapping from S3 to S2, but this mapping is non-trivial. So there are this Hopf index, right, π3 of S2 equals z, and the fact that it's a fermion, for this state, the Skirmion is a fermion, is described in this theory by this theta term. The action contains a theta term. So the index of π3 of S2 with coefficient equal pi. So this is theta equal pi. So this is maybe the, I'm not sure, I may misunderstand the question. So in history, people compute this for 2D electron gas, and there, because people know energetics very well, it's an electron liquid with Langevin-Cooley interaction. So then people can compute the energetics even with some analytic understanding. But here, of course, we can compute that. For example, the simplest thing you can do is you do some mean field calculation. You put in some magnetic order, form this Skirmion texture, and you compute the energy of that configuration, and then you do some minimization search, right? So that certainly can be done, but right. So, okay. So I think at the long wavelengths, the Skirmion give you basically energy independent of size if you do the naive scale, the dimensional analysis. But there's a. I think you're asking maybe the sort of the core energy of the Skirmion. Right. That's something you need to compute. You put some smooth configuration of the order parameter, and then you ask what's the energy for that state. And I try to say that at least, for example, on the Hartree-Fock level, I can compute that. This is very easy. You numerically put that on your lattice, and you compute the energy of that state as a variational state. So you know so that can be done. But the question is, even if you do that, is this sort of related to the real material, because the real material have a more complicated interaction, and this phase may or may not be realized in the real material. So I think there are first order issues need to be figured out, and the energy for the skirmion may be the second order issue.
I think in the semiconductor realization, quantum Hall state is called is realized.
Right.
You can have this being function on quantum Hall state. You dope a little bit electron.
Right.
The dope electron actually create a skirmion and
oh, I see. Maybe that's your question. Yeah. I misunderstood.
So what happens is that
Right. Internally
they can measure the total spin polarization of a
right. Spin
function from quantum Hall state. You see, at the filling function, one spin are nicely polarized.
Right.
But when we dope a little bit electron, we find a spin polarization
crash
significantly.
Right.
So this people say this may be a sign that for every dope electron, you generate the big one beam of spin. So a lot of spin gets split.
Right.
And so that's maybe there's something related to that. But certainly to observe skirmion directly, I don't know. But by measuring total spin polarization, after dope a little bit electron, gave some indication maybe it is skirmion.
Yeah, we can talk later.
Yeah.
My real interest was just theoretical in the relationship between the effective field theory description of skirmion.
Uh-huh.
If you compute the energy in that setting and the underlying microscopic description.
Yeah, so usually what people do in translating from microscopic to effective theory, usually people don't do the real calculation. People just guess, right? That's sorry. Too honest, I think.